very good morning to you. Good morning, lady. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listeners. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, David. Thank you, David, for those minutes. Yeah, it's raining. It's absolutely, absolutely raining on this side. And, well, sometimes, you know, the traffic becomes so heavy. But well, we manage. Good morning to you, which is actually a good thing. It's a good raining, it's good, looking good, the weather is good, you know. And welcome, good morning, and welcome to your number one talk radio station. So this is, I'm just coming in, and I need to put my mind, you know, I still have to put my head together and get everything all right. Okay, now good morning and welcome to Eagle FM, and thanks for joining us at this time. It's about 8:15, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So it's those times when everything's actually popping up at the same time. So my name is Mike Oshaveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what's really going on in business, economics, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. We keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark the meaningful conversation so you can be part of this big conversation. So this is your space, this is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. Our time is about 16 minutes past the hour of 8, and as usual, so we start with looking at, we take a quick trip through the pages of history, especially African history. So we're looking at on this day in Africa. Let's look at what happened on this day across the continent on the 22nd of December. So first up, back in 1988, a major moment in Southern African Cold War story. South Africa, Cuba, and Angola all came together at the United Nations in New York to sign what became known as the tripartite, you know, accord. Now, this agreement opened the door for Namibia to finally become independent, and it also set the timeline for the Cuban troops to leave Angola. So, a truly big step towards peace in the region. Okay, moving to Zimbabwe on this day in 1987, the country marked what is now known as Unity Day. It was the day when the two major liberation movements, ZANU, led by Robert Mugabe, and ZAPU, led by Joshua Nkomo, signed the Unity Accord. And this deal brought an end to the ethnic violence of the Gurukura Hundi period, as it's known, and merged the two parties into what we know now as ZANU-PF. And now to the Indian Ocean. Back in 1974, the people of the Comoros went to the polls to decide their future. The three of the islands, Grande, Comore, and Yon, and Moheli, voted strongly for independence from France. The island of Mayotte, though, chose to stay under French administration. So that split still actually shapes the political debate to this day. And turning to Somalia, on this day in 1997, faction leader Hussein Farah Aidid signed the Cairo Declaration by giving up his claim to the presidency. He took an early but important step toward trying to bring peace to a country that had faced years of brutal civil conflict. So, and finally, in Egypt, let's go to Egypt in 1983, where President Hosni Mubarak welcomed PLO leader Yasser Arafat to Cairo. It was an Arafat. It was this Arafat's first visit since Egypt signed its 1979 peace treaty with Israel, a move that had strained Egypt's ties with many Arab leaders. So this meeting was a symbolic thaw in the regional relationships. So that's your journey through history for today on this day in Africa. So today is the 22nd of December. It's a Monday, and welcome. So what is our thought for the day? So what is our thought for the day? So this too shall pass. So this too shall pass. This is a reminder that no situation, whether it is a moment of deep suffering or a time of great joy, will not last forever. Okay? Will not last forever. The saying is a double-edged sword, intended actually to provide balance to the human spirit. So in adversity, for example, it serves as a source of hope and resilience. It reminds those in pain that their current struggle is temporary and that better days will eventually follow. And if you are as I said, it's a double-edged sword, and in prosperity, it serves as a source of humility and mindfulness. So it warns those at the height of success not to become arrogant or complacent, you know, as good fortune is also fleeting. So yes, our thought for the day today is this too shall pass. So, and hopefully whatever you do today and the decision you make throughout the day, make sure that you are humble enough and mindful, you know, because the pain that the current struggle that you might be find yourself in is temporary, and that better days will eventually follow. So, welcome, and thanks for joining us. So, our time is 22 minutes past the hour of 8. So, we will be going until 10 o'clock, so where we will be handing over to Seima. Member Seima will be doing the Kutha Moshe today, not Date France, and she will be here. She will be in around 10 o'clock. So Kutha Moshe will be, you know, will be coming to you from Ondangwa studio this morning. So join Selma around 10 o'clock, Simon, around 10 o'clock this morning on Kutha Moshe. All right. So what are we looking at? What are we going to talk about today? This Namibia actually launched the something called National Energy Compact under the Mission 300. So we're going to look into that. What is that all about? And really unpack some issues that being highlighted. I mean, the pillars of the National Energy Compact. We're going to look at that. And also, if we have time, we're going to look at what is the BRICS unit. This is the currency they are planning. And could it really challenge the U.S. dollar? So could it really challenge the U.S. dollar? That's what we're also going to look at. And if we have time, the global wish list, which we didn't do last week, and check about the six of the world top crisis affect countries which are in Africa. So your participation will also be part of the show, definitely. So stay tuned. We'll come back. We'll be back in a second.
Omutiha would take a kaguna, e matina omjo. Chicago Safa Nana, Longishifa, yai, she became Moshiwana, e Moyao, or Tango Gotisamwini, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Saitanina, Omaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House, Way 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi fareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira seoma, onora hita tuimu. Datundatu, heari jamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And thanks for joining us. A beautiful morning. And welcome to Eagle FM. Wherever you find yourself, you could be already, you know, you could have already arrived on at your destination. You probably have traveled through the weekend. And, or you could be traveling. You could be embarking on traveling today. So make sure that you're safe and you drive safe. And don't drink and drive. Don't drink alcohol and drive. So you need to drink water. But don't drink alcohol and drive. So good morning. And you are tuning to Unpacking the Day right here on Eagle FM. And I'm your host, Mike Aidula, Michael Chevelli, bringing you know, clarity, context, and conversation around the story shaping our lives. Now, I want you to picture this before I get into this story. Now, you are in a new location. Let's say, for example, you are in a new location in Ondangwa, or let's say a growing settlement in Katutura. So you have built your house, and then you have got your family settled, you know, in that house. But when the sun goes down, you're still actually reaching out for a candle or a paraffin lamp or something, you know. Why? Why are you still doing that? Because the grid, you know, simply hasn't reached you yet. And last week, our government launched the National Energy Compact under the Continental Mission 300 initiative. So it sounds, when you listen to it, it's kind of like fancy, né? But what it means, what it really means is that our electricity situation, you know, when we use all this fancy word, what it actually means is that our electricity situation is at a breaking point. And the business as usual approach just crashed into a wall. You know, it's no business as usual. So that has just crashed into the wall. Okay. All right. But why are we here in the first place? What pushed us to this point? And will this new compact actually fix the problems? Will it fix our problems? That's what we are unpacking today. So now let's look at the core of this. Okay. Now let's look at, first of all, as I said, I love numbers. Okay. Because it always tells the stories. Okay. So let's look at the numbers, and I want you to listen closely because, as I said, they tell the story, and they are telling a story of a leaking bucket, you know? So, you know, when you put water and the bucket is leaking, this is what it's actually, you know, telling a story of a leaking bucket. Okay, we're still talking about electricity. So, now, let's look at this. Back in 2015, okay, about 47.7% of Namibians had access to electricity. 47.7% of Namibians had electricity to had access to electricity. Now, fast forward to 2022, after years of some development, so that number actually dropped to 46.9%. Now, you're probably thinking that. Now, kind of like, are we a country, How does that happen? Now, let me give you a clue. Just think about that. Let me give you a clue. So we are a country of about 3 million people now. Instead of moving forward, the percentage of people with power is actually shrinking, you know? So in terms of electricity. So now, think about where you are. So you can think about where you're living now. So new houses go up and every few months, you know. Town expand. If you live into some towns, you know, you can see now that there are a lot of houses around, you know, people moving from village to towns. When family get access to electricity, so we're going to talk about this. Just stay tuned.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So now what I'm talking is that, look, when we look at, you know, I said, when you look at the that drop, the number, actually the number of the people who become connected in 2022, now in 2022, actually the number, the percentage have dropped, you know. So, and why is that is the case? As I said, now you can look around, as I said, look around in your place, look around in towns, you can see that people, there's really towns are expanding, people move from villages to towns. And also, when families get access to electricity, for example, they don't just plug in a light bulb anymore. What do you do? They want fridges. They have fridges. They have fridges. They have freezers. They have geysers. They have TV. They have stove, internet routers. You know, chargers. You know, all at once. So, but here's the problem. Now, the number of connected houses has gone up. The number of connected houses have gone up, but the power supply has not kept, you know, it hasn't kept the race. You understand? So our national access level have basically stagnated. For the past 7 years, it has stagnated. So in fact, they even dropped, as I said, they even dropped slightly from 47, from 47.7 into 2026. I mean, in 2016, not in 2026, in 2016 to 46.9, so in 2022, which, while the household increased to around, now, the houses now have increased to around of 700,000. So, more houses, but less access. You see? So, and this is what, you know, and this is what actually planners call a capacity crunch. Yeah, that's what is called a capacity crunch. Now, but here's the concerning problem. We also this concerning problem because as we look at the numbers, the urban-rural divide is huge. It's absolutely, absolutely huge. So in our towns, 71% have power. 71 in our town, 71% have power. And in the village, guess what? Only 19%. So that means, if my calculation is right, 19% of that means 4 out of 5 people in the rural Namibia are living in the 19th centuries. Okay? They're living in the 19th centuries. 4 out of 5 people in the rural are living in the 19th centuries, while the rest of the people, while the rest of the world is actually talking about AI and electric cars, while our rurals still living actually in 19th centuries. Now, this stagnation isn't just I mean, it's not just a stat, you know, it's not just a statistic. So you have to think in terms of economic development, not only economic development, it's a barrier to many things. It's a barrier to education, it's a barrier to health, it's a barrier to starting a business. You know, if you can, say for example, if you can't run a fridge, just a fridge where you could maybe selling your Coke and things, you know, or a sewing machine after six. Let's say for example, you can't be able to plug your sewing machine after six because you don't have electricity. Then how do you grow? How do you grow? And I'm actually referring to someone who goes somewhere, you know, to do that. She could have actually worked until 12, but she have to go to, you know, to a town to do that, but she cannot be able to do that at home because at home there's no electricity. You see, how do you do it? That's if you can't, you know, so if you can't, how do you grow then? So those are said, that's why I said, this is not just statistics. Sometimes when we hear 71 have power in town and only 19 in, these are not just statistics. Numbers have stories. So there are underlying issues and factors, you know, on those statistics. So there are stories on that. As I said, with that, it's a barrier to many things. All right? So now, Namibia currently, how maybe let's look at where we are so that we understand what's coming in, so that we can understand this pack better. Now, Namibia currently only generate about 40% of its own electricity. And that's why I'm saying this is a crisis. Maybe not to the level where we say, you know, it's a dire need, but it's still a crisis. You know, we currently only generate about 40% of our own electricity, and that means let me see how many lights I have here. Okay, in the studio I have quite a number of lights. So that means, okay, so let me just put this off. All right, so now I was looking at the light here. So that means for every 10 lights, if we're saying that, you know, we only generate about 40% of our own electricity. I'm looking at the light here now, light bulbs here. So that means for every 10 lights, you know, in this studio, 6 are powered by electricity we buy from South Africa, from Zambia, or from Zimbabwe. You understand? So, yeah. So that's what it means. About 6 light here, where I am, you know, in the studio, is actually powered by electricity we buy from one of those countries, from our neighbors. So, and for many years, Namibia has imported most of its electricity. As I said, we only generate about 40 of what we use, and the rest come from mainly from South Africa and Zambia. So, but South Africa has been dealing with its own crisis as well for years, and the region is under strain. You know, it's not only Namibia; even the region overall, the region is actually under strain. So, now meanwhile, Namibia's population, and this is the point, okay? Namibia's population and urban migration have grown faster than expected, I think. Well, it's not than expected, than our infrastructure can accommodate, okay? So the demand is higher than the infrastructure can produce, you understand? So it's not that it's not faster than expected, but it's just that, you know, we weren't prepared, you know, with this massive migration. And each new location, if you think of each new location, each new settlement, each new schools in those areas all require power. They all require power. So, but investment, and this is what we talked about, investment in generation of power, in transmission of power, in large-scale expansion, did not happen at the same speed. It didn't happen at the same speed. So, and that's the problem. So the demand line kept rising. So the demand line kept rising. The supply line stayed almost flat, you know. And the gap is what we feel today. So that is exactly what we feel today. So, and the continent wants to step in. And this is where now we talk about Mission 300. So the Mission 300 is an African-wide plan. It's an African-wide plan aiming to connect 300 million Africans by 2030. So that's the mission. And the continent is the only region, if you compare to other regions, is the only region where the number of unconnected people is actually going up, not down. Other regions, people being connected, getting electricity, is actually going down. Asia, for example, has made a huge progress. It was really a problem in Asia, but it has made that progress, huge progress. Africa is, we're still actually falling behind. So this is the only continent, you know, the continent is the only region, if you compare to others, that the number of unconnected people is actually going up, not down. So, yeah. So the Mission 300, it's meant actually now to mobilize big money. The whole idea is now to mobilize big money, private partnership, long-term energy reforms, you know, all that. So that's what what it meant to do. So the vision, the mission to 300. But there's a little bit of a twist with this funding. All right. Now, funding will not be enough for everyone. Okay. Remember, this is a continental initiative. So the country must position themselves early. You know, because you know this is it's a 5-year kind of initiative. It's by 2030. So country must position themselves early. They must show real projects, real reform, a real agency. Those are the things that they need to show. Because once that funding pool is committed, that is it. That's it. That's it. Yeah? So Namibia is moving to get in line early. So we're moving to get in line early. So that's a twist. If there are other countries as well, in competition, competing for that funding, so one have really to, you know, to position yourself as early as possible. So, yeah. So now, so what exactly is Namibia National Energy Compact? What is that all about, really? So, it's actually basically a contract with ourselves. No, it's a contract with ourselves. It's a clear list of promises. It's a clear list of promises, of targets, of reforms. And this is required by Mission 300, you know. It's a contract with ourselves. Basically, it's a contract with ourselves. And it sits under, you know, when it sits under the 6th National Development Plan, NDP6. So, and this now, with this contract with ourselves, with this Namibia's National Energy Compact, has pillars. I mean, those, as I said, this actually sit under the 6th National Development Plan, NDP6. And here are the major pillars. There are major pillars for this National Energy Compact. And it's within, as I said, it's within the development plan, especially the NDP6. So, and you know what I said? As I earlier said, this is actually a contract with ourselves where we're looking at, we have a list of promises, a list of target, promises and target that we want to achieve and reform that we want to make. So, and this what these are the pillars now that actually made up this national energy compact. So one is that we want to connect 200 in our NDP6. So we want to connect 200,000 households. It is an NDP6. We want to connect 200,000, household. And that's a huge, 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 huge jump. Nearly doubling current access rate. So that's actually doubling the current access rate. So it means really aggressive rollout of transformers, lines, poles, and prepaid meters. That's what it means. Eh? So there are only about 4 years left. So do you see that happening? So that's the target. Okay, that's the connect about 200,000 houses. So we need to understand this. These are the promises. Or are we just those people who, these are things that are promised to us, whether they achieved or not. We don't really care. You can come back again, promise us as much as you can. If you don't fulfill it, it's okay. Is that who we are? Is that what we have become, So, if that's what we have become, then we shouldn't be complaining where we are. Eh? So by 2030, we should be connecting 200,000 households. That should have been done. All right? So, watch out. Remember, in the rural area, we only connected about 19%. So we have so much to catch up. Now, the second pillar, the other pillar is that we need to reach 80% electricity self-sufficiency. 80% electricity self-sufficient. Right now, we produce only how many? We only produce about 40%. So what that means also? Double. So the plan is actually to double this within a few years. That's the whole idea. We are doubling. We are doubling here. All right? So, yeah. Now, by 2030, we should reach actually 80% electricity self-sufficiency. Are we on course? So where are we at this point in time? We still, as I said, we only produce about 40%. So 60, we still actually import from our neighbors. So that's the other pillar. All right? And the other pillar is that get 70% of our power. Now we should get 70% of our power from renewable energy. So the 70% of our power should come from renewable energy. Why? I think it's logical. Namibia has some of the best solar and wind condition in the world. Eh? I think it makes sense. But where are we? Are we investing as a country now? Not just inviting investors to come and do this or private sector. Are we as a country really investing in this? Eh? The compact wants now to use that fully. This compact now. So one thing that you have to understand then is now the compact want to use that fully. So getting the fund from this would then to use that fully. So what else we have? It's actually strengthening our transmission lines. And this is very vital. This is very, very important. We have renewable projects approved in places far from the main grid. Now, if we generate power in Lutres or Kunene, but cannot move it to Windhoek, well, that doesn't help. So we need to strengthen that transmission lines, So that's also a pillar in the compact, okay? But it's within our NDP6. So, but the whole idea is also to bring the private sector on board. Okay, the government can't pay for everything. The government cannot pay for everything, so companies with money and technical skills, you know, must help build those solar plants, wind farms, storage systems, and grid update. Maybe we need also to upgrade the grid. So the private sectors, you know, must come on board. And that's part of the compact as well. That we're talking about, National Energy Compact that was launched. And the most important things, the very most important things is to keep electricity affordable. That's the whole idea. So because you may provide electricity, but if it's expensive, you have the infrastructure there, but who uses it? If access increases, but prices skyrocket, well, people have access to it, but they can't afford it. People switch back to what? They switch back to candles and firewood. There are people who have some people who have electricity at home. And sometimes actually they use candles, they use firewood, not because the electricity gone is went off or something, the outage. So it's just because they cannot afford it. They still go and get firewood actually to cook outside and things like that. So electricity should be affordable. We have a long way to go. So the plan emphasizes balancing cost and investment, you know. So you may have access, you may increase access, but if, you know, the prices is skyrocketing, then that is no help. So, and the other thing is then to consider long-term option, like, because the minister, at the launch, the minister also mentioned about nuclear energy. Okay? That's something in consideration. So, and of course, why not? Why not? With huge uranium reserves, we have a huge uranium reserves. One of the, actually, you know, uranium producer on the continent. We may want to explore the nuclear in the future. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not next year, but long term. You know, maybe that's something that we need to look at. So the minister actually mentioned that. That's something to really focus on. Now, maybe what we can ask ourselves is that, or what we need to look at, what really drives this? What is the motivation? Or what are the pressures? It can't be just motivation. It could be pressures. What is the pressure? The forces behind this push. Why there is this push? So we mentioned some of those. One is really, it's simple. It's economic security. A country without unstable electricity cannot grow industry. A country with unstable electricity, you cannot grow mining. You cannot manufacture. You cannot do manufacturing. So company will not invest where power is unreliable. So one of the biggest motivation or pressure that we are on is actually economic security. It's because of economic security. So the other thing is also, I mean, we have settlement. How many settlements in Tatuturas that have no electricity? In Swakopmund, in Ondangbo here. Some new settlement that still have no electricity. Remember what I said. You are in this new, you build your house, but the grid hasn't reached you yet. So one of the pressure is really rising household expectation. Namibia want modern house. We want modern house. Not paraffin lamps. We tired of the paraffin lamps. Electricity, you know, you have to think this way. I think electricity is not just about, you know, light on in the house. It's about, it tied to dignity. You know, it tied to dignity, it tied to many other things, it tied to comfort, you know, it tied to education. Your children will be able now to learn, you know, then study, and you know, it ties to opportunity. You know, if you have electricity at home, you can be able to do something for yourself. So it's much more than just lights. Yeah? So the other motivation or the other pressure is actually regional competition. Now, when we're talking about the 300, Vision 300, so there are other countries that are part of that. And also, that are actually, when we talk about, think of Botswana, think of Zambia, Kenya, Egypt, they are moving fast with renewables. Yeah? They are really, really moving fast with renewables. And Namibia can't afford to be left behind. We cannot afford, you know. And as I said, this money, if you don't prepare yourself, make yourself ready, it will be gone like this. Yeah? If you sneeze, you lose. If you sneeze, you lose. So, and the other pressure is access to big funding. As I'm saying, there are a lot of money. There are billion in climate and energy funds globally. There are, honestly. Countries that organize themselves, I'm using Uncle Buana's word, so countries that organize themselves get support. Eh? Those that delay get left out. They get left out. So there is a lot of money. There is billion in climate and energy, you know, funds globally. So one is actually to have access. I think one of the pressure or motivation is really access to big funding. So, and also, it's not just that, but also climate pressure. We also have climate. Global partners want, what do they want? They want a clean, renewable project. That's the focus. Yeah? That's the focus. So the compact is Namibia way of saying, now, this compact is actually Namibia way of saying, we are ready, we are serious, and we are organized. So that's a way to say we are. Yeah? Look at us. All right? So, yeah. So that's some, I think, the motivation, and or I would also coin like the pressure, why we actually are moving in this direction. So sometimes when there's something that I personally, because maybe of my background, I always think, you know, numbers, they said numbers have a story to tell. You know, numbers have a story to tell. And sometimes there's a human angle, you know, on all this. What does this, when we look at this, sometimes when we look at the things that we're talking about, so what does this mean for real people, for you, the real, you know, everybody's real, but, you know, behind the numbers, there are real stories. I always, and this is my, sometimes that's my focus. There are real stories. And that's the only way, whether now, whoever in charge as a leader, I want you to listen to that. There is a learner in rural hostel studying with a torch or with a candle. A learner in the rural, we're talking about 19%. That means there are schools that may have not electricity. And that learner in that hostel is studying with a torch. It's not something I'm picking up just in my head. These are real stories. Yeah? There's a small business losing income during power dips, sometimes, you know, in those areas. It's not only in the rural, it could be also in your town. Small business is losing money because of that. That's what they are, real stories. There are numbers on those, behind those numbers, there are real stories. Imagine a parent who can't, you have maybe medicine that you can't refrigerate. You know, a family in Windhoek settlement, Katutura settlement, and you, a settlement, waiting years for connection pole. Eh? For a connection, Paul. Or someone swakop munowavishbe. For a connection, Paul. So we have to understand, this is not just a technical issue. Electricity is not just about, you know, it's not just a technical issue. He says, someone said this, you know, can't remember who, but it's a social justice issue. It's a social justice issue. And you and I should understand that. Why it's a social justice issue? Because it affects, you know, it affects, you know, education. It affects your safety. It affects your health. It affects your food security. It affects your income. It affects your dignity. So, and even when the government say it want to connect 200,000 houses, this is about improving daily life. So, as I said, there is a real story behind numbers all the times. So now, looking forward, where could be the challenges or problems or risk or threat, you know, to this initiative? So where would be the risk? You know, it's a good plan, it's a good initiative. So, but we launched this. So where could be the threat? Yeah. So there's always challenges with real world. There's with plans like this, with big plans like this, there's always challenges. There's always real world challenges. Yeah. And in Namibia, the first thing, and every Namibian knows this, you and I know this, even if I don't mention it, you know that, slow implementation in this country. Yeah. So we had many strategies before. Execution is always execution, not exclusion. Execution is always the hardest part. It's always the hardest part in this country. Slow implementation. We are like snail pace. Snail even maybe better. A tortoise? You are snail pace. Our implementation is a snail. It's a snail pace. Yeah? We have also the funding. We have also problem of funding pressure. Okay. So Mission 300 funding is fine. It's finite. Even those ones are finite. They are not. There is no unlimited resources. All these fundings are very limited. They are finite. So the global financing costs are also rising as well. So if Namibia delays, if we delays, the money could go to faster moving countries. Remember the countries that I mentioned, the Kenya of this world, the Egypt of this world, the Botswana, the, you know? If you snooze, you lose. Eh? If you snooze, you lose. So, and from what we are looking, what is the other risk? It's urban, you know, we talked about the urban divide. And this is an issue in water. Remember when we're talking about water, it's this issue in electricity. So urban houses already have a better access, as we have seen. So if project like this favors town, so rural areas may remain behind. It continue to remain behind. And you still have a lot, you will still then have a lot of people migrating to town, and then you find yourself in a circle, you know? You find yourself in the same problem over and over until you can't manage. You can't manage. Yeah? So the infrastructure, the demand, the infrastructure won't be able to meet the demand. Won't be able to do that at all. So the other issue also, the other risk is rising tariffs. Expanding the grid costs money. Yeah? So if costs spill over into electricity prices, households may be struggling. We may be struggling. Yeah? So, and we don't have the infrastructure also. Even if we build new power plants, the transmission network must also grow. Otherwise, new capacity can't reach consumers. If you have new plant and you don't, the transmission network hasn't grown. You could have all these new renewable on their own, but if it's not connected to the grid, so the transmission network must also grow. As I said, otherwise you have all this new capacity that can't reach the consumers. So, and dependence, the other dependence on import, you know, until we reach 80% self-sufficiency, we as a country will still remain vulnerable to regional shortages. We are, you know, we depend on other countries for our survival, for our energy security. So it's a serious, it's urgency. As I said at the beginning, it's a cry for really, really urgency. This compact means, you know, we are in trouble and we need to do something. You know, when things going fine, you know, when you're driving a car, ignoring a certain problem, you know, there's a problem there in the car and you keep ignoring. That problem's causing other part of the car becomes another problem. It's growing and growing and growing. Until it becomes, first, it was maybe just needing something that you needed to repair, just costing maybe about 300. But you did, because you didn't address it, now it caused a bigger problem. So now you have to repair your whole engine that's going to cost you about, maybe going to cost you about 20,000. Do you understand? Sometimes this is what we do. Eh? So because things are happening, we still actually have the light on, we don't address the issue until boom. Then is when you started actually panicking. Yeah. So you may also thinking, okay. As I said, I'm saying this because this is actually matter to you. It's matter to us, all of us. And I can, let me remind you that, okay? Let's remind. You remember the 17 monsters? The monster, 17% monster? I call it a monster. But first, let's talk about the bullet we just dodged, you know, early this year, okay? You're most welcome to come through. This is just something I'm probably bringing it on the side. So 08333 66091 08333 66091 08333 66091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your opinion on our national energy compact. So first, what I wanted to say is that we dodged a bullet earlier this year. NAMPOWER went to the electricity control board, okay, the ECB, asking for a massive 17.44 increase. All right, in back tariff. That was actually in back tariff. Now you can imagine your 1,000 recharger, you know, of electricity suddenly costing 1,170, just like that, you know. So why did they ask for so much? Because keeping the lights on, it's getting expensive. Why did they ask so much? It's because keeping this light on is really getting expensive. But the ECB said no. They said no. Instead, they approved a much smaller percentage, which was actually a 3.8. It was a 3.8 increase. That was the one approved. Now, so do you see how did they bridge the gap? You know, from 17.44 to now 3.8. How did they bridge that gap? Do you know? Of course. The government steps in. The government steps in with a 283 million subsidy. So, think of it as, you know, the shock absorber. You know, in the car. Think of this as a national shock absorber, you know? For 2025 to 2026, and 2026, your bill is being shielded by taxpayers' money. 283 million subsidy. But here's the critical thought, you know? Here's the critical thought. Ooh, it's getting hot here. It's absolutely getting hot here. All right? So, now, subsidy they are not forever. Okay? Subsidies are not forever. So, what it means is that the government is essentially buying us time. You know, it's buying us time to build our own power plants. You know? So we don't have to keep renting electricity from the neighbors. That's the subsidy is giving us time, you know, so that we build our own plant. Yeah, so that we don't keep actually renting, because we're renting electricity from our neighbors. That's what it means. Eh? So, and why we are importing this, because it's killing us. Why imports are killing us. Now, why are we importing 60% of our power anyway? And what does it cost so much? Eh? There is a secret. Okay? I'm going to tell you the secret. Do you want to escape? When we buy power, all right? Something that you should also understand. When we buy power from Zambia or South Africa, we often pay in US dollar. So we also pay in US dollar. So now, when the Namibian dollar, say, gets weak, for example, you know, our electricity automatically gets more expensive, even if we use the same amount. So we are currently, in terms of that, we are currently actually caught in a dollar trap. Okay? This is why the National Energy Compact is pushing, the reasons why it's pushing for 70, that's why it's pushing for 70% renewable energy. So that's why we're pushing for 70% renewable energy. Because the wind in, where is that, in Lüderitz, yeah? The wind in Lüderitz and the sun over the Kalahari don't charge us in US dollar. They don't charge us in US dollar. Eh? Once the panel are up, the fuel is free. Eh? The fuel is free. All right? So they don't charge us in US dollar. And that's why, you know, that's the reason behind. So the pushing of 70% renewable energy. And we should do that. And the other things, you know what, guys, when I'm asking you, please, you know, pray for the rain on this part of the world, you know. The other thing, for the next 2 years, your electricity price actually depend on the rain in Angola and on this side. You know, our Rakana hydropower plant is our cheapest source of power. Yeah, they are the cheapest source of power. When the Kunene River is full, Rakana runs at 100%. And our costs stay low. It stays low. Yeah, but if there is a drought, and that's why I keep saying, you know, pray for this, you know, it's for yourself as well. Don't think these guys are selfish when we said, yeah, pray so that it rain in the north and in Angola as well. No, it's not. We are not selfish. You know? So otherwise, if there is a drought, we have then to switch to that emergency import, you know, or run the, what is that, an access to a plant that in Wavish Bay, which burns expensive fuel. So otherwise that, so when you see clouds over the north border, you must, So that's not just for, honestly, that's not just for the water, for that's not just water for crops, okay? So we all, the whole of Namibia, we should always pray, you know, for the rain on this side. I think that's, as I said, this is not just water for crops. It's actually, that is a discount on your electricity bill. It's a discount on your electricity bill. So, yeah. So you're most welcome. Please do come through. What do you think? What is your reaction? 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So, we will be back after this commercial break.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafata na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahita tuimwe. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And wherever you find yourself this morning, many of you probably, if you are on this part of the world, you're probably in bed. Because, you know, it's a good weather that we are experiencing at this point in time. It's those moments where you just don't want to get out of bed because of you're on holiday. Why do you need to wake up and you can do that, you know, later on, whatever you're supposed to do over the course of the day. Yeah, so it's a beautiful weather on this part of the world. I hope, you know, wherever you are, you are relaxing, you take care of yourself, take care of the family, and or each other. And remember, David's warning is that don't touch other people's people. Don't touch other people's people, okay? So that's David's warning, not mine, okay? So I wouldn't mind if you touch other people's people. But David said, don't touch other people's people, as long as you don't touch mine. All right. Good morning, and welcome. So we are unpacking why Namibia's grid is under pressure and how the new National Energy Compact aim to fix it. So that's what it's all about. So what the main point that probably we look at is that the household is actually growing and it's outpacing the supplies. So there are so many houses, but, well, demand is rising faster than the grid can handle. All right? So, yeah. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I thought you were on holiday somewhere in on the Caribbean or something like that.
Nowadays there is no more holiday plan, man. We don't have saving anymore.
What happened to the savings? You know?
They said the source of income are not
exactly what we're talking about. Electricity, my dear.
Yeah, Namibia is moving faster than the economy.
Exactly.
Yeah, of this country. So if you are now, look at the argument of electricity.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because for them to be successful, they need money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we are not talking about $2-3 here. We are talking about a lot of money.
A lot of money, yeah.
Yeah, and that is what we are unpacking every day. Comparing with other countries, but we are not learning from those countries that what is really take them out of that problem. If you look at countries like India, for example, yeah, these people, the consumers, they are the one that are taking people out of those ones. And the government, the subsidy must be keeping, continue maintaining it, which they fail to do. Because remember when they paying $750 that they pay back,
yeah,
the debt didn't change.
It didn't, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the problems that I'm saying. We don't understand really much about how to learn the country.
Subsiding for subsiding of the government, is it a sustainable model?
Yeah, that is where I'm saying,
yeah,
we are really failing to understanding who is government and who is public out there, yeah, and who is private. The private is the consumers, right?
Mm.
You cannot include them on your plan. Let them be interfering by paying what you are in need, not what you are demanding.
Yeah.
Like now, see, they demanding 17%. Which the public now knows that the people will not afford it.
Exactly.
Which is now private. Of saying, okay, unless we are increasing with 3%, it might end up making, and that is what we unpack. I don't know when we were talking about water.
Yeah, it was water. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Those are the things that if you look at the demanding water supply in the rural of those four north region. It's not that the water is not there. It's the money to putting out those pipeline.
Exactly.
For example,
yeah,
one big pipeline from, let me say, from Moshigambo up to Tinsabes Road. So those are the things that we need, and then from there we took those small pipes.
Yeah.
Which, if you look,
it's the same thing we are pushing for 70% renewable energy. We have the sun and the wind and all that. The only things that we don't is money, you know, to be able to do.
But renewable energy is one of the very expensive projects in the world. Because
exactly.
I look at the countries like Morocco, they were doing the same project. Which in the even putting the torch that can powering those electricity, solar at the night.
Mm.
But they didn't manage it. And if you look at another state in the United States, that where I think it's Eilish, where Chicago is, there is a farm, huge farm with those solars. And you know how much they are contributed into electricity of that state.
Mm. But that's a very important point. But if genuinely, let's say for example, genuinely this is something that is very, very expensive to execute, why do we keep singing the same song?
Yeah, no, others, you know, that is what you're raising a good point, because that is what people were asking when they were in Brazil for the climate change conference.
Yeah.
Why people are pushing something that we are not having evidence on? It's because they want to sell their product.
Mm.
And that is what now they have to come to Namibia to telling people that no, the sun is good, the what is good. But if you look at the money that you are putting in, to be honest, to get it back, it will take time.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get in the big portion that you can satisfy the what? Oh, that cover the demand.
Yeah, because you look at it in a very simple way also. If solar was so cheap, we would have a product that we put easily in our houses.
Yes.
You know?
Solar is not cheaper.
Yeah.
I know people, those batteries, they learning quicker.
Exactly, they don't last. I
they don't last. Yeah, they don't last. Yeah, I know those things. But I'm not talking about the experience here. I'm talking about the project that is exist in the world. So you don't. So that's why if NamPower wanted to produce electricity, and even before I go to NamPower, if you look at what Kwetu Mandashe was saying in South Africa, he said you don't just come to tell us that get rid of coal to go to the renewable energy, which we didn't even see evidence that they are producing enough for this country.
Even in developing countries. Yeah.
So it's not. And electricity is not cheaper. Remember when I was told about between China and... People are suffering in China because of Chinese government, which is now make it easier for the factories. So they deducted that 60% from the factories and put it to the what? To their people. Household people. Yeah? So those are the things that there is no way you can invest in something and give it for free. But government can be there to say, guys, let us rehabilitate or doing better for that Kalweke water plant so that we can get more electricity, maybe 20 more percent.
Yeah.
That is where they can go. But if they are saying, if you are talking about importing electricity, and you are talking about increasing, and you are talking about industrial, how do you expect the person can come and set up a plant in Namibia where he knows that water is expensive, electricity is high, more way too far from other countries? You will not. You will not make it. So those are the things that they need to discuss in that we don't have money.
Yeah. Which is also a problem for local businesses, small businesses as well. You can't just rent, for example. It's just massive. And sometimes you don't... You see, people, I don't understand sometimes. This is off topic sometimes, but it's like your mall, you know this mall that we have?
Yeah.
The owners of those malls, they would prefer that they are empty rather actually renting them cheaply to people.
To people with cheap prices. No.
I don't understand. If you're getting something, it's better than not getting anything, you know?
Yeah.
While you have of stores that are just empty, you know?
And they fail also. They fail also to convincing local investors.
Yeah.
Remember when we were talking about 200 millionaires and billionaires of Namibia? They don't want to rent their money to the Namibian SOE companies. Or the private companies that are listed on stock exchange. Because they don't trust them whether they can get their money back. And they don't trust them whether they have assets to pay it back.
Yeah, that's the thing,
Those are the problems that you are discussing something that is way too far. When you are reading something that was uploaded by somebody, remember that it's not affect you.
Yeah.
If you write your own story, it will be different from the one that you are reading. And that is what the problem we have in this country. People think they can make it because look at what is happening to William Ruto. Yeah. He wanted to get money from the private. And what is happening to them? And look at what's happening to other countries like Egypt, the time of Mubarak. It was the same issue. When you don't have money in hand, going public out there, promising people what you can offer them, and then they funded you. But here we are not failing. Those guys, they don't know how to convince people.
Yeah, and which is also a very important observation in terms of by now we should be able to know why actually private sector in Namibia are not willing in terms we don't get now in terms of proportional in terms of private sector actually being initiating projects and really involving partnering with the government. Why are they very reluctant, you know, to actually participate?
It's because of those guys. They know them.
Exactly.
That they don't know what they are doing. We have a lot of people that, if you might get a time and asking one of those success business people, and asking them that, do you want to work with Minister Huhu? You will tell him that, no, I don't want. Because they know. Those guys, they're making a man out of nothing. You know, when I'm giving you a money for the project, please don't look at that money as your profit. No. Treating as an investment that can bring more money.
Yeah.
And this is what NAMPOWER doesn't have. This is what NAMWATER doesn't have.
Yeah.
That's why I'm giving you an example of that. When I was discussing about this with that Kauruma, I end up thinking about Nyoma. Nyoma was more good president to say, how do I convince people to pay me with 30% of this?
Yeah.
He come up with Onja Binya and Daful. They come sing a song, but they are pushing the project to go ahead.
Yeah.
And even the ministries, they were also part of the parcel. The parcel. We're reaching on Dangwa from Tume.
We have a commercial quickly, né? And then we can come back quickly.
Imbaya rile ombwa nai etetwa wedako ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irile ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no mafa kumurungu wa indu. Waliro ngere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Una ovi unedia peke kwa ugondola milongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwezi. Poo, pwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano kumieve vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo kumieve hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Mwede mwurongo na vivari mwishimarifu. Itororela ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba ya kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba ono oronga neno uye kuha kainina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Alright, just maybe wrap up then,
I was just saying, people that don't understand much about the investment, that is what it's killing this country. And one day, those people, they would die for stress because...
The funny things, I mean, some of us, when you look at certain things, you don't need to be an expert in certain things, but you can, when sometimes you're looking at, when you go, some of us that will analyze things, and you kind of say, do people see this? Or is this as a matter of, as long as we say something, or as long as are there really analysis on matters that concerning the country, or just, well, as long as we communicate something like this, or we do something, it's like wasting. Sometimes you're gonna like, whatever money you're going to put there, I can tell from my point of view that's gonna be a waste, because it's not gonna.
It's not going to go anywhere. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying, if you look at our national budget, it can tell a different story.
Yeah.
Than those NDPs, those policies, what they are planning. Mm. It's telling a different story. And that's why I'm saying, the country is good. Eh? The money is there. But for them to get money out of that, they have no plan of that. They have nothing in their mind. And that is what, when we look at now, that NAMPOWER, NAMWATER stories, so which, or even other projects in that they are also wanting to milk. When they see something running smooth, it's where all of them, they are coming in. So to say, they need to pay this, they need to pay. For example, those, if you look at now, the MTC says VIT.
Yeah.
It's something that is was creating out of nothing, because you cannot tell a person is already paying VIT, and then when it gets come to you, it's also paying. Yeah? So just because I have access to do that.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that for us to pay this electricity to become cheaper. Let us learn from India.
Yeah.
India is one of the best countries in the world to learn about. Because they are all importing this electricity from different countries in the world, including food. But today they are the one that is supplying.
Yeah.
Because they make it easier for access to everybody to have access on that and paying back the service. And when they're paying back the service, you're making more money. And that's why I'm saying, they make a mistake to giving that 750 million, which they are now getting this 1.78 billion, right? The one for DBN. It is still also, it doesn't make sense as a plan for 5 years. And if you look at the 196 that they got in last year for road rehab, what, to maintaining the road,
yeah,
from also the same institute, which they're getting now, the 1.7.
Yeah,
so what is really making sense? Are they wanting to milk it, I mean, to do some corruption or what? Because it doesn't look like they want to invest. You get 200 and then after 2 days you're getting another. Oh, who convincing the African Development to funding this those projects?
Mm.
Those are the things that we want to hear. Who has initiated that to say we are in need of 1.7 billion? Because we have this project, we have that project, but you give 750 billion.
Yeah.
Can you get for me, Mr. that John is the governor, to tell us that who has initiated this 1.7? What you are giving, when you have money and somebody is lending you money. Okay, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through. And enjoy your holiday.
All right. 0833 666 091. You know, I think some issues I have really is like, say, for example, we need to revise certain targets. Say, for example, you're talking about a 200,000 new household connection. Given, you look at the rate, you know, you look at the current rate, you know, you don't even build 10,000 a year. And you would think I would build actually 200,000 new household. So now what you do, this is the promise that you're making. You raise that expectations. As if you haven't read the room, you haven't read, you know, kind of, first of all, you don't have the money, as simple as that, you know, to be able to build that amount of houses within that period of time. You don't, you know. So I would prefer more realistic. I wouldn't mind if you said, we're going to build, let's say, for example, 100,000, you know, for 5 years. Because I know that's realistic enough. You know, that's realistic enough. And that you can be able to get money for that as well. You understand? For that period of time. So we're looking at Namibia's grid under pressure. And how the new now National Energy Compact aims to, as I said, to fix that, you know. 0833 666 091.
Good morning.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Morning, Angabona. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm all right.
Good.
Mm.
Yeah, we are still not on holiday. I don't know when our holiday will come. Maybe it's when we go.
If you're working, that's fine. Well, you're joining us. Yeah.
Yes. Please, there's nobody who should be on holiday in any way.
Yeah, it's true.
Because people are plowing now.
Yeah.
People are mending their fences and the mubus and everything.
Yeah.
They are taking care of their cattle or livestock and all these things. They are not. They shouldn't be on a holiday. That language, it is used against us, actually.
So you're saying
for those who are involving in the subsistence farming or communal farming.
Yeah. Well,
and the This season is for holiday and things like that. If they are still also working.
Yeah.
So now the issue of housing and the energy compact.
Yeah, it is the national
I've heard that one since last week.
Yeah,
people were talking about those things. And we know these things. Now you have mentioned a good point. One of the good points that you have mentioned is that the government is doing these things. The private sector, I've heard and taken note of some of those, private companies, especially the commercial bank, Standard Bank, and others also, those who are there to collaborate and partner up with the government in terms of providing house provision. But then the private sector are just not there as consumers.
Exactly.
They are there as part of the as developing partners. The same UN agency.
But overall, I understand, but overall, the private sectors in Namibia are very reluctant. Yeah, there are those. There are some of those that are involved in some project. But overall, you know, they are not really participating, you know.
They are reluctant because they need to be compiled. They need to be forced also. There is a need for a certain kind of an act to compile them to come in. Because the people who are working in the private sectors are the main ones who are affected when it comes to lack of housing or dwelling.
Yeah.
So those are the people who are working in the private sectors, many of them, who do not have a dwelling. Those who have got dwelling, they have got flat. But the majority, let's say the institutional workers, I mean the worker, the cleaners, those who they want the gatekeepers. Those are also working in the private sector. Even those who are cleaning our streets there, in Windhoek and everywhere, those are actually employees of the private sectors. And they shouldn't just be consumers. They should be there to assist their employees in terms of social well-being, upliftment. So, and they are even getting the subsidy. The government is saying it's coming with the subsidy to subsidize those who may want to buy a house from through the institution, what I was talking about this morning, GIPF and many others. So now it is a matter of making an arrangement and see how they can coordinate their energy, so that they will then now able to supply electricity to solar power. If you look at the statistic of people who are willing, even the company or entrepreneurs who want to invest in this area, that area of solar power, housing, people are not coming in there.
Yeah.
Even if you say, fine, the Minister of Energy, we license you, and with this non-power, we through this avenue, independent power producers, all those things, even if the solar power don't last, at least somebody might not use the candle, like you are saying. We have used a lot of candles, even in the urban area there. We have used candles because of lack of electricity.
Exactly.
To study. And even our children, they are also born in this generation. So what we are saying is that the private company, that's why they created this public-private partnership. Are we now saying that we just have to be consumers of those products that are produced by others? Not at all.
Yeah.
So we should come in as development partners.
Yeah.
So if they are not coming in, of course, they are very reluctant, like you said. Now, they are reluctant because they are perhaps not made their way. These are their responsibility as well.
Or maybe they don't see profit in it.
They see the profit because people who are working with them and who are even contributing, making their budget grow, are these people who are cleaning. And these are the people who are finding themselves in flooding places.
Yeah.
So Standard Bank is coming in. Why do you think Standard Bank has come in? With this, and all these shack dwellers are coming in. And these are the people who are also like shack dwellers who are depending on the contribution of the masters who are contributing $50, $5, or whatever. And the Standard Bank is coming with one brick. So why can't all those institutions come in with the same initiative, through the same initiative? Or they can even develop up their own better products than those ones, if it's possible. And then we now see how we can now house our people, contribute, because these people are contributing. That's why you see their salaries in those private sectors are even better than the president's salary. Who is contributing? Who is creating that the West? First National Bank has invested. They have what they call, what is it? First National Bank, wealth and investment, access to wealth and investment. Billions and billions of dollars. The legislation that applies in South Africa, First National Bank in Namibia or wherever, if it's not the same, then we can then say, fine, this one is discriminating in Namibia because we are not getting this benefit. We want to have this product for building our house for ourselves, or private sectors or entrepreneurs can then go there through that vehicle and then say, yes, we also want to build our houses. Those who are building houses and those who are solar paneling them and all those things, that can come from the private sector and say, okay, government, here we are. Can you give us the subsidy? These are our people, our beneficiaries who want to buy houses. And you have already identified those who are graduating, who have graduated, who want to buy houses. And say, okay, who are those other entities that can able to supply or willing to supply our people with electricity? So Tate Modestu Sampe, the Minister of Mines and Energy, he knows also very well around this area of this periphery areas. The private sector shouldn't be consumers or standby. They are part and parcel of the development process.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Uncle Bona.
Good.
A very good morning to you. Our time is about 46 minutes past the hour of 9 and at 10 o'clock, Kutha Mosha will come your way. And today it's coming directly from the Ondangwa studio with Meme Saima. So make sure that you tune in 17 minutes of time. So, all right. So, as I said, we unpacked why Namibia's grid is under pressure and how the new National Energy Compact that was just launched last week, it's aimed. We looked at those pillars. We look at the motivation. We look at the, and the aims to fix. It's aims now to fix that issue, those issues. Now, there are a few things that we looked at that we from the main points, just maybe to conclude this topic. Household growth, it's outpacing. That's the thing. It's outpacing the supply. It's outpacing supply. So demand is actually rising faster than the grid can handle. Because of immigrations, because of there are no upgrade, there are no there are no new supply that has been developed, generated. So, yeah, access level have stagnant for 7 years as the population grows. Actually, so if nothing, it's like you. Imagine you have been working in a company and the salary hasn't changed, and but the prices of other things it's going up. Prices of oil, prices of fuel, prices of food, prices of any other things, it's going up, but your salary remained the same. So it's, you know, it's stagnant. Yeah. So we import about 60% of our power, and that can make us vulnerable. If South Africa or Zambia decided, we cannot be able to do that anymore, that leave us more vulnerable. It's a major, major vulnerability. So we need to think. And maybe Vision 300, the Mission 300, offer a big opportunity. It offers the biggest opportunity. But there's a competition. There's also a competition. There's a competition for funding. The competition for funding is very, 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 very tight. So we need to get ourselves ready. And the National Energy Compact, it set some bold target, something sometimes that I'm not really not happy, but I think sometimes unrealistic. And that's sometimes annoying in the way where you, I want, sometimes you can see we can do, we can have realistic target, because you're raising expectations that you know for sure. If you're looking at the growth rate, if you're looking at the implementation rate that currently, and what are you doing that's going to change that? We still don't see anything that's going to change that. If you go with the rate that you go, or even if you improve just a little bit, so you'll not be able to achieve that. 200,000 new houses connections. So what that makes you is that we come to 2030 and we think you have failed. You have failed. Why? You might have not failed. It's just because you're not looking at the risk factors. And we look at some of those things. Where do we going to get money? We last time we were talking about, what is it, energy. We looked at energy a few weeks ago, where they need money, where they need to be subsidized by the government, you know, to be able to fulfill those objectives, to be able to fill the number of the houses that we, you know, and it's in billion. Now, how is that a contradiction? So you kind of like, okay, the people who should actually build us house are saying they don't have money. But we're still actually stuck to this. So there comes a time where we maybe need to revise our target and be a little bit realistic, given this and this and this and this, you know? I look at that more. If we come at the end of the year and we say we're going to build about 100 houses and we build about 90,000 houses, you know, then I'm fine. So yeah, 80% self-sufficiency, those are target. We were just talking about the how expensive renewable energies. We will double our current supplies, you know. So that, yeah, what is the strategy? Okay, what is the strategy that's going to help us to achieve that? 70% renewable energy. Much of what we, that as I said, we talked about. Well, success depends on, as I said, those are one of the risks that we have, execution, not promises. You know, it's really, and we have come to learn that as Namibian, you know, there are so much promises, but when it comes to execution, in some cases there are money. In some cases there are money to actually, there are funds, there are skills, there are what, everything to implement. But the execution, probably incompetence and becomes a problem. So, as I said, the whole success of what we're talking about depends on execution, not on promises. Promises are well and good, but without, you know, without executions, they are just as well that they were not made, you know. So ordinary Namibian, we stand to benefit most from this if it's implemented, if the plan is implemented well. We tend to, the whole idea, the plans are good, eh? And they will benefit in terms of how they will benefit the ordinary Namibians, but it's just on paper. On paper, that's what it says. Well, if it's not executed, then how do we benefit? How do you benefit? So, is this just another document for a shelf? Is that another document that we just need to put on the shelf? Or is this spark that lights? Is this the spark that lights up rural Namibia, for example? Would this the spark now? This document would be the spark that would light up rural Namibia. You know, the government say they are consult. They have consulted everyone. They say they consult the NAST, academics, the Reds. So what is left? So it's implementation. One of the big challenge in this country, and I don't know how are we going to address that. So very big challenge. So what is left now, it's about its implementation. So, well, I still have 5 minutes. I want to hear from you. Do you believe we can hit 80% self-sufficiency in 5 years? You know, sometimes it's not being skeptic and negative. It's being realistic, you know. Otherwise, we live in those hopes and dreams. I wouldn't mind, even if you only... You know, if we said we reach, we reach 70, now it's 40, we reach 60, I'm okay. At least, you know, we moved, you know? So, yeah, what do you think? Do you believe we can hit 80% of self-sufficiency in 5 years? And, or are we destined to keep buying power from our neighbors? While our own uranium, while your own uranium and sun goes to waste. Well, it doesn't go to waste because someone actually, with uranium, someone is actually using it. But our sun is going to waste.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, familia. Hello? Bon dia, si.
Yeah, como está?
Bom, obrigado. Como está, Dani?
Sou bem.
Ok, Natália, vais comer onde os porquitos e as carnistas.
You are now in Portugal.
No, no, I'm saying where are you going to enjoy your Christmas?
Man, I will be traveling. I won't say my destination, but it's outside of the country.
Please tell me slowly so I can follow you.
If you send me your number, I will tell you where I am. You know, when I'm sipping a glass of wine, and you know, the guy said, "I wish you were here." That's the whole point. I'm good to be a fan of the sipping of beer. I wish you were here.
Yeah, but you asked a question.
Yeah.
Yes, we can. Because when you asked the question, I was looking behind, I looked for the front, I see nobody can see, and I cannot see anybody here. There's a let me answer my brother.
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Okay, give me the motivation. Give me this. Substantiate your answer.
I won't go too far, but yes, you can. If we're having a good leadership,
yeah.
We can achieve a lot.
Yeah, no, no. That's in principle. Anyway, when you have a good leadership, you can achieve a lot. Yeah.
Yes.
And leadership, sometimes leadership is not just on top. This I keep telling people that leadership is not just the president. President can have say all the good thing, but she's not the one who is going to implement most of the time. You know. So you need people, governors, you need counselors, you need, you know, executives in offices to do this. If they are not competent enough, or they follow the what they have been doing for years, you may be on top of the mountain and shout, we need to do this and this, but otherwise, you know, they also need a lot of change and reform. Yeah.
Yeah, but sorry. But why I'm saying if the leadership is good, you can achieve a lot. Example is just like you are a driver for a bus.
Yeah.
But you are not a good driver. You can stop any time. In people, sometimes with where the toilet, you don't stop where the toilet. You just go sustain some way, find the bush.
Yeah.
You know, you're not a good driver. But if you have a good driver for this bus, who can communicate with the people in the bus? I think you can reach the in your destination without even noticing, like you already arrived where you wanted to go.
No. With the same example that you have given, I can also look in terms of like, okay, I am there now. Let's say I have given you a bus in a good condition, you know, to drive. You're just a driver. I've given you everything. The bus is in good condition, but every time you're driving, you pass around. You not you don't treating well the customers. You know you arrive late where you should be. You know, if I don't fire you, then definitely I won't be profiting from something that is very good. The bus is good. You know, you are the bad driver. You know, and that's sometimes we need to get rid of.
Yeah, but really, like, when it comes to leadership, also play a big role in the. Hello?
Yeah?
Yeah, when it comes to leadership, also play a big role.
Yeah.
Because, for example, like, I supposed to stop in the four-way stop where these people, I need to pick up people and drop them somewhere. And I come there late on. Sometimes I just pass by, going to stop somewhere far. You know, this guy of this, the driver of this bus, also, his movement can affect the environment of the creativity which these people are supposed to bring.
Mm.
Yeah, if this guy driving the bus on time, stopping on time, picking up on time, if the people are tired on for example, you can stop somewhere, you can rest and enjoy yourself. Yeah. Then you have a driver. But if you have a driver who drives this car, who don't care about the people, who don't care about the stops, who don't care about what time he's supposed to be to reach there, when you get there, you will find people frustrated because you take too long to arrive here. And this guy doesn't even mind, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, leadership really play a big role in terms of developing the country.
Definitely, you're right. Yeah.
Yes, but I cannot hear you well. I don't know, or you have my phone, or maybe you are, or is your phone, maybe, I don't know.
Oh, you can hear me?
No, it's like you are deeper. I'm trying to put my phone like, now it's like I'm digging you out.
I saw the problem, yeah. Now you can hear me properly. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But now it's better. Yeah.
All right. But well, we have come to the end of the show. Anyway, thanks, man. Have a good holiday.
Thank you. Likewise.
Uncle Buena says it's not a holiday because you still have to go and work. All right.
Yeah.
Man.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
All right, and that's actually bring us to the end of the show. And, well, I have to say, well, I'm going to take a leave as well for a few days. So in my absence, definitely there will be somebody who will be bringing either Unpacking the Day or any other program that comes in that place. But we will continue when I come back, and that will be probably next year. So I wish you a pleasant and a relaxing, a restful holidays, because as I always said, we have a country to build and we need you to be in a top shape to be able to you need to relax. You know, you have been working hard, and those who are traveling, make sure that there's still a lot of accident that is happening. Make sure that you drive safely. You don't drink and drive, especially don't drink alcohol when you drive. Make sure you take care. We want everybody to arrive safely. Everybody, we want everybody to go and celebrate with their family, and then later go back, you know, in full, you know, not in pieces, okay? So, all right. We have Meme Seymour here, and Meme Seymour.
Meme Seymour, yes, that's right. I'm patient.
You're patient, eh?
Yeah, I am.
All right. It's the first time you're doing...
Yes, my first time to do this Kutamosha. I don't know, yeah. I think I will make it.
Okay.
I'm more related to my Oshiwambo, you know, traditional things. How would you handle yourself?
Yeah, gash nenge ngotashia po nanengeno po pito fingo po ne dishi.
Yeah, like we have weddings.
Yeah.
And vahapo avata reveling amos to come celebrate Christmas Day with their families.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to talk that so that people can be aware that when it is time for stationary things, you know, you don't need to say, I spend a lot, so we need to give that special message to the people, to the listeners for Anchor FM.
Yeah. January
opote. Yeah.
Kuko next stationery ne.
Yes, you know. You know, Watan is waiting for you there.
Yeah.
Waiting for us. I'm also a mother, right?
Definitely, it's waiting for us. Yeah. So yeah.
I will be helped at the Ngube, yeah, because.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the one going to give that special message to the listeners.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good.
Next time will be my guest.
Yeah, please.
All right.
Please. All right. So, well, take over, and I'm getting out of here, and I'm going on holiday. You will be going on holiday tomorrow as well, isn't it?
No, my holiday is starting on the 25th of December.
Oh, 25th of December.
Yeah.
Oh.
And my birthday is on 24 December.
24?
Yeah.
Okay, right. On the Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
All right. All right, all the best. I leave you in the capable hand of Meme. She will be coming now. And from me, Mike, until next year, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.